Aren't we thankful for the Winter family? Amen. Without any further ado, would you please welcome a good friend of mine, a family that I appreciate. He is a friend to me, and I'm thankful that we are able to have them here today. And he'll be ministering to us this morning and tonight. I'm looking forward to a great move of God. So let us do what we can to contribute and have an awesome move of God around here today and tonight. Get all of your friends and family that you can possibly rake up, and let's fill this place up tonight and have an apostolic hoedown. People getting the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and a great move of God. Amen. So again, would you please welcome Brother Mark Winters to this pulpit.
Hallelujah. The book of James chapter 2 verse 19 says that thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. If demons have emotional response to who God is, how much easier and how much more should you and I, who have been recipients of his power and his forgiveness, be able to respond to the presence of the Lord that is in this house today. If the Lord has been good to you, why don't you clap your hands and give him some praise right now? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We honor you and bless your name today, oh God. Amen, amen. It feels good in the house of the Lord. It's certainly an honor to be back at Mount Pisgah to worship God with you. Give honor to Brother and Sister Causey. Love and appreciate them, this great church. It's always a great privilege and honor to be here. I'm glad you're here today, but most of all, I'm glad the Lord's in the house. Amen. He has come to do great and mighty things in this place today. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, I'll read from the 20th chapter of the book of John. Amen. St. John chapter 20, and I'm going to read a couple of verses there, beginning with verse number 25. St. John chapter 20 and verse 25. The other disciples, they are talking to Thomas, who some refer to as doubting Thomas. But the Bible said, the disciples said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Verse number 26. There are three words that I want to use as a title this morning. Amen. The words, "Then came Jesus." Amen. Then came Jesus. Would you lift your hands, your voice with me right now? God, we praise you. Thank you for your power and your presence that is in this house today. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that has been upon the singers and musicians and upon the people. And I pray again that you would anoint the ministry and delivery of your word. We need your help today. God, we can't do this without you. We need your power, your anointing, your glory to fill this place. God, we're asking that you would heal those that are sick in their body, that you would deliver those who are bound, touch someone's mind. Most of all, fill someone with the wonderful and powerful gift of the Holy Ghost today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord some praise in this sanctuary today. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Though most of us here today already know and are already aware, allow me just a moment to give you a backdrop of this chapter of the reference that we made a moment ago. There's been an incredible amount of events that have led to this desperate situation in the 20th chapter of the book of John. By now, Jesus has been falsely accused, falsely arrested. He has been scourged. He's been lied upon. He's been brought before a court. The rebellious, heartless crowd has cried and chanted, "Crucify him and release unto us Barabbas." One who had the authority to let him go, amen, said, "I find no fault in him." One who had the blood of the Redeemer on his hand tried to wash his hands in water. The wife, amen, even said, "Have nothing to do with this man, Jesus." But it's gone beyond all of that. People who had followed him are now scratching their heads, wondering what is going to become of this Jesus. The disciples who had been following in his footsteps for some 3.5 years are thinking that the kingdom that he preached about and the kingdom that he prophesied about had not been established. There's been no stones erected, no kingdom set up. Amen. And now they're wondering, what is going to be our place? How is this going to work out for us? Not only are they scattered and shaken, but now the one that they love so much has been led to Calvary's Hill. Their spikes have been driven into his hands and his feet, a crown of thorns pressed upon his brow. And maybe they are afraid that the same thing that happened to Jesus is soon to happen to them. And they are afraid and they hide themselves. And it's possible that they're upset and discouraged. They have watched the one who walked on water now ask for something to drink as he hung on that cross. The one who had taken bread and fish in his hand and blessed it and broke it now had those same hands nailed to an old rugged cross. The one that opened the eyes of the blind, closed his eyes in death as he cried, "It is finished." The one, amen, that raised the dead is taking his last breath before their eyes. Their leader is gone and they don't really know what's ahead of them. They're in hiding. They're struggling. They're gathered together perhaps in a spirit of discouragement and despair and hopelessness. They believed that Jesus was going to be their deliverer, that he was going to liberate them from Roman rule. But now it looks like all of that is over. Jesus is dead. But in the midst of their hiding, in the midst of their despondency, perhaps one of them reminds the group again, you know, he did say, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." At the time of our scripture reading today, it's 3 days later. Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. The grave could not hold him. Death has lost its sting and it's been conquered. The debt of sin has been paid, not with the blood of goats and calves, but the Bible said by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's early in the morning, and Mary and Mary Magdalene come to the tomb to anoint his body, but there has been a change of guards. Notice, as long as his body was in that tomb, the Romans are standing guard there, but when the stone is rolled away and he is resurrected, there are no longer Roman guards at the tomb, but now it's being guarded by angels. Why? Because the Romans were not going to be able to explain the resurrection. They're probably still reeling and shaking from what they witnessed on that resurrection morning. And as these two women approached the tomb, the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you looking for God in a cemetery where they put the dead folk?" Let me just remind us today, you will never find God in a dead place. You won't find him. I don't want to get in trouble this morning, but you won't find him in dead worship and dead preaching and dead church. You're going to find him, amen, in the power of his resurrection, where people are doing exactly what you're doing right now, clapping your hands, worshiping him, and honoring him. Amen. He is moved by the praise and worship of his people. And can I tell you today, the stone could not hold him back. There's no trouble in your life. There's no trouble in your home. There's no chain of addictions or bondages of sin that can keep God from coming to you. So as Mary and Mary Magdalene come to this tomb, and they discover that it is empty, but instead of excitement, they think someone has taken his body. And she tells Simon Peter, amen, that we don't know where he is. The tomb is empty. And when they return to this tomb, she stands outside weeping when someone she supposes to be the gardener says to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" And she said, "If you know where they have taken him, would you please tell me?" And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And there was something about the way he said her name. All of a sudden she realized it's not the gardener, amen, but it is my Jesus. And she began to run and tell the disciples what she saw and what Jesus told her. But we find these disciples hiding behind closed doors and locked doors, wondering when soldiers are going to come and take them away. The room is thick with fear and concern. They're mourning the loss of their Savior. What are we going to do? Fear is holding these men in bondage. And I've got to stop right here for just a moment, amen, and say there are so many people living their lives behind locked doors because of fear. Amen. It holds people in bondage. Some are living in fear of terrorism and fear of sickness and fear of violence, fear of failure, rejection in their future. Amen. Whatever name you put on it, the results are the same. Fear paralyzes, it neutralizes, it brings bondage and confusion and a sense of helplessness. But there is good news for the child of God. God hath not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house today. Amen. The disciples, he appears to them, amen, in that room, and they're telling Thomas, who was not there, what they had witnessed. And Thomas said, "Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of those nails, I will not believe." And it's 8 days later, they are in this room, the doors being shut, and the Bible said, and then came Jesus. Doors being shut, and he stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Doors locked, amen, windows shut, but stepping through that wall, walking through every barrier that kept them distant from everybody else. Then came Jesus to help one man's faith. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. I've come to preach a simple message to somebody in this building. You are about to have a "then came Jesus" experience. Maybe you think your world is upside down, nothing's going right. Let me tell you, he knows right where you are right now. He knows what's going on behind the locked doors of your marriage, your home, your children, your health, your finances, your spiritual well-being. And he said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." He's watching you right now, and he's about to walk through every wall and every barrier and every resistance to come to your rescue this morning. Amen. Come on, let's worship the Lord in this house. Somebody in this building has a divine appointment with them right now. You think you'll never get out of this. You think God has left you. But there's going to be a change. You're going to be able to say, "But then came Jesus." As a matter of fact, he's already here. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's come to help you, sir. He's come to help you, ma'am. Amen. He didn't just step on the property. He didn't just walk in the building. He's not just walking the aisles. But there are people here today. He has stepped into your pew. He's sitting right next to you, moving upon you right now. You're going to leave this service today saying, I was sitting at my pew. I was contemplating my options down to my last prayer, thinking this was it. But then came Jesus, and healing came, and joy came, and peace, and deliverance, and Holy Ghost moved on me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you just reach over, take your neighbor by the hand. Let's pray right now. I feel the unction of the Spirit of God in this building right now. Sir, you're not here by accident. Ma'am, you're not here by coincidence. He came here today for you. Hallelujah. He came here today just for you. He designed this service and this day to let you understand I'm here to help you. I'm here to change your life. I'm here to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Anybody in this house, can I get a witness? Can you remember when you came to church full of fear and worry and trouble and sickness? Amen. You couldn't even feel God, but you started praying and you worshiped God anyway. And then came Jesus. The power of the Lord began to move upon you. Oh, come on, somebody. You remember where you were when God found you? Hallelujah. You're here today and you don't have the Holy Ghost. You look around you. You see people on their feet clapping their hands and singing. Let me just let you in on something. We're a group of people that have past and priors that we're not proud of. We weren't always in the choir. We didn't always teach Sunday school. We weren't always ushers and singers and preachers. We know what it's like to be dead in sin, bound by the chains of sin. We know what it's like to be controlled by a substance. But when the devil thought he had us, then came Jesus. Amen. Broke the chains of bondage, delivered our mind, and filled us with a power. If you understood my past, you'd understand my praise and my response today. Amen. Across the aisle, there's a family that remembers when they were in pain, they were in sorrow and trouble. Life had come against them, their back was to the wall, and the devil told them, I finally got you where I always wanted you. But then came Jesus. That's why their hands are in the air. That's why it's easy to get up on Sunday morning and get to the house of God. If you only knew where it brought me from and what he brought me through. Because when he shows up, everything changes. Oh God. I said, when God shows up, everything changes. Oh God, I feel a divine visitation of the Holy Ghost in this house right now. That's why when I come to church, the only thing I have on my mind is trying to create an atmosphere that will usher in the presence of God. I determined a long time ago, if I'm the only one worshiping, if I'm the only one singing, if I'm the only one praying, I'm still going to do it because I need him to show up in my world. I need a then came Jesus moment. and I found out if God will show up, somebody will receive the Holy Ghost. Somebody will be healed. Someone will be delivered and blessed and receive a miracle. It makes a difference when he's in the house. He cannot show up and things remain the same. Divine visitations always produce miraculous results. I wonder if there's anybody in this house that needs God to show up in your world right now. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. If you need him, if you want him, why don't you just stretch your hand and your voice to the heaven and say, come by here. Lord, I need a then came Jesus moment. It's going to be different when you leave this place today. It's going to be different when you get home today. He's coming to your rescue, sir. He's coming to your aid, ma'am. Yes. Amen. I feel like the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody right now. Come on, let's just take a moment and pray in the Spirit right now. It's not too late for divine intervention, ma'am. It's not too late for God to walk through your world. It's never too late for a miracle. Come on, let your faith go. God's here to help you this morning. It's not too late for God to turn your family around. It's not too late for God to step on the scene with the healing and the provision. All you got to do is reach for him right now. Hallelujah. Born blind, destined to die as he was born. But then came Jesus and touched his eyes, and Bartimaeus began to see. Amen. For 12 years, severed an issue of blood, spent everything that she had. She's dying. But then came Jesus, and she touched the border of his garment and was made whole. He's here to do it again. I feel a miracle in this house today. I need about 3 or 4 people to believe God with me right now. He's in this house to do something miraculous in your life. Just a moment more. Let's just pray right now. I'm not trying to work something out, but I feel like God's reaching for somebody in this building today. If he'll show up for Thomas, if he'll show up for Bartimaeus, if he'll show up with the woman with the issue, he'll show up for you right now. Why don't you tell him what you need? Why don't you tell him what you want? Come on, stretch your faith and your hands to the heavens right now. In the name of Jesus. It's not too late, God, for you to show up and work a miracle right now. Let it be done by the power of your name, the authority of your name, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Just a few months ago, my wife went to the doctor, amen, for a checkup, and they called her back and said, you got to come back. We found some situations in your body, some spots we're concerned about. And we begin to pray and we begin to talk to God. Hallelujah. They said, we got to do more x-rays, more tests. Amen. But then came Jesus. Went back to the doctor. Amen. Did the test, and they called back and said, you don't even need to come back anymore. Those spots are gone. Amen. They're not there anymore. God's getting ready to do it again. Well, I feel faith in this house right now. Don't be surprised by anything God does for you in the next few moments. The Lord is in the house. The healer is in the house. Your Savior is here. Your miracle worker is here. Amen. Just a few months ago in revival in Indiana, there was a lady. Pastor came to me. He said, "Brother Winters, there's a lady standing right over there. Amen. She wants the Holy Ghost today." I said, "Okay." He said, "But here's the deal. Amen. She is deaf. She cannot hear and she cannot speak. If you'll just go over and give instruction to the sign language team, they're going to give her instruction as you tell them." I said, "Okay." Amen. And I walked over to her and I said, "Ma'am," and they were interpreting for me. I said, "Have you repented? Do you want the Holy Ghost today?" She shook her head, "Yes." "Have you repented?" "Yes." "Amen. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name?" "Yes." "Do you believe you can receive the Holy Ghost today?" "Yes." I said, "You just lift your hands and begin to worship God. He's going to fill you the Holy Ghost." Amen. Deaf and could not speak. But then came Jesus. And all of a sudden, a woman that couldn't speak began to speak in a heavenly language as the Spirit gave the utterance. Come on, that same power is in this building right now. My Lord, I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is respond to what you feel moving on you right now. Amen. She was born into a drug addict mother. Amen. She was addicted to heroin, did drugs all of her life. But a few months ago, I saw her stand, amen, toward the back of the sanctuary while I preached. Amen. The power of God began to move on her, Brother Causey. She couldn't even sit still. She just stood up the whole time I was preaching. Amen. And when the altar call, before the altar call, there was no altar call because somebody saw her. Walked over to her, began to pray. Amen. Began to pray for her. She began to shake and scream as God began to move in her and demons began to leave that body as we called on the name of Jesus. And when that demonic force that bound her left her, amen, she opened her eyes and said, "It's gone." And immediately began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit. I don't know what you're fighting. I don't know what you need. But I know Jesus is in the house right now. And if I were you and needed a miracle, I'd stretch my hands and my faith to the heaven and let God do what you need Him to do right now. Come on, sir. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. If you could see how close you are for God showing up in your world. Amen. For God doing the miracle. Amen. Your voice would be lifted, your hands raised, and your response to the presence of God would not be determined by everybody else, but by what you feel moving upon you right now. I challenge somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. To respond to the Spirit that moves upon you at this moment. He's getting ready to do it again. It's not over. Amen. It's not over till God says it's over. The word of men may be it's impossible, but then comes Jesus. Is there anybody in this house that knows if Jesus had not come, you would not be where you are right now? If He had not come to your rescue, you wouldn't be here right now. Hell, if He did it before, He'll do it again. Yes. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how far it's gone. It doesn't matter how locked down you may feel right now. He'll come through every wall, everything that has been built, everything that separates you and God. The worry, the concern, the sin, amen, the fear, he'll walk through it all to bring revelation and bring deliverance and healing to you right now. Somebody right now ought to lift your hands and begin to praise God, because your deliverance is coming to you right now. Your healing, my Lord, is here right now. The Holy Ghost is on you right now. The miracle is in this building. Then came Jesus. Come on, let's just stand and lift our hands. Don't quit praying. Oh, you don't walk out right now. There's a divine touch of the Holy Ghost in this house right now. You know how to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, sir. You've been wrestling, man, with this bondage for a long time. But deliverance has just arrived. Amen. Amen. The marriage counselor's just walked in. God's going to restore your home. Come on, restoration is here now. Maybe you messed up. Maybe you thought it was over. Maybe you closed the door. Amen. But today, the Lord has come to your rescue. There's going to be a turnaround in the atmosphere. There's going to be a change in your circumstance. Come on, you walked in carrying the weight of yesterday's fear and mistake and failure and sin. If you just slip your hand in the air and begin repenting, the power of the Lord is going to move upon you right now. He's here to heal you. He's here to deliver you. He's here to help you. He's here to give you the miracle. Then came Jesus. When it looked like all hope was gone, when it looked like there was no way, when it looked like there was no hope, come on, the Holy Ghost is at work. Somebody needs to step out of their seat right now to this altar. God ordained, this is your service. This is the day that God ordained. This is the moment you've been praying for. He's here with healing. He's here with deliverance. He's here with victory for you right now. It's not too late for divine intervention in your situation. Come on, it's not too late for God to heal you. It's not too late for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, you don't have to carry that burden. You don't have to carry that weight anymore. Hell, you don't have to carry the guilt of yesterday. Then came Jesus. Come on, the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you right now. Why don't you surrender yourself to Him and worship? I repent of my sin. Forgive me. Fill me, O Lord, with your Spirit right now. God, it's not too late for you to intervene in my family. It's not too late for you to heal my home. It's not too late for you to supply my need. Then came Jesus. When it looked like it was over, when it looked like it was all gone, then you stepped in with everything that I need. Come on, the Holy Ghost is at work. Maybe everything's well in your world. Find somebody to pray with. He's come to help you today. He's come to deliver you today. He's come to speak peace to your life.
than enough.
Jesus, you're all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's draw close to Jesus right now. Let's get our mind on the Lord right now. Let's pull in close. Let Him heal our afflictions. Deliver us from unrighteousness. Repent before the Lord right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.